Well, we're here and we're family tonight, aren't we? I just want to go back where I was. Let someone else teach tonight. Turn with me. Did I say this already? To Matthew 6, please. He dwells in the most extraordinary light. How do you describe it? I remember in June when he took me into union, he showed me a different perspective of prayer. I don't know, I may have even taught on it before. From that perspective. But to know it and experience it are two different things. Paul said in Ephesians 1, I pray. And I saw prayer from God's perspective. How holy it is. It's one of the most holy privileges given to man. The privilege of prayer. It is holy because by it you connect to God. As he showed me this aspect of his view of prayer, I saw that it was so holy. How could we ever do it? It was so far above us in holiness. Bearing the very essence of God. How could we ever do it? And then I saw his great yearning. How he yearned for our prayers. How he yearned for this holy communication. I felt the yearning of his sacred heart that we might pray. Jesus said, pray like this. And we read it there in Matthew 6, and it seems so matter of fact. Oh, pray like this, like something you would say to a child. Now, write it like this. But the words that were coming out of his mouth were so holy. The instruction coming from a holy God to a people he wanted to make holy as he connected them to him. Pray. A holy exercise given to us out of love. And may I say, may I tell you the truth, that unless you do pray, you can never be holy. You can bear his righteousness because that's given as a gift in your salvation. But you can only become holy through your intimate connection to He who is holy. And that is only achieved through prayer. The more you pray, the more holy you may become. And please note, I said may. Because you can pray much, but not obey, and lose the value of the holy exercise. So it really is a double yoking, isn't it? Don't you want him tonight? Boy, so do I. I could just fly up through the ceiling and just go be with him. And I'd beat you all to the punch because I'm closer to the ceiling than any of you. Well, except Chuck. I think that if a minister could have a gift, and only one gift, to serve the church, my prayer would be that he would give me the gift to impart truth to your heart, giving you information is never going to change anybody. If you receive it like information, like a computer receiving data, you'll never get changed. The truth has to enter the heart. And that's where change begins. We can have lots and lots of information about God. Of the writing of many books, there is no end. But information will not make you holy. Do you want to be holy? If you want to know God, you must be holy. You must be holy. There is no other way. Are you at Matthew 6? Pray therefore like this: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We give all respect to our Father. You know, the word honor in the church has almost become a cliche. The word glory, well, we give all the glory to Jesus, has all but become a cliche. We think if we are talking to someone and God has done something beautiful for us, and we say, well, I give all the glory to Jesus, that's what the Bible refers to when it speaks of giving him glory. But let me share another thought with you. What about instead of using the word glory, we use the word respect? I give him the due respect. I give him the respect he is due. How are you going to relate to him if you're doing that? Can you easily sin against him and then come to him in a heart of frivolity? Not if your heart is drawn to respect him. If you respect him, you want to abide in his truth. You want to be filled with the light of his truth so that you can know the one you respect. When we're called to give glory to the Lord, we give it because we live our lives out before Him nobly. We live our lives out before Him with a heart of respect and honor, such as He is due. But then, how do you give? I mean, how do you measure what He's due? He's pretty awesome. Are you staying with me? Hallowed be His name. This is not just a prayer. This is an invitation to life. Hallowed be His name. Holy, holy be His name. The high priest of the old covenant would wear on his turban the words, "Holiness unto the Lord." God is looking for a people who intuitively understand holiness, intuitively understand that it's something that cannot be wrought by the works of the soul. They understand that holiness is something that must be wrought by the ministry of the Spirit of God. And because they've touched the light, they cannot bear the darkness. God is looking for hearts that are lifted up, not in pride, but in contrition. Because when you have touched the light, you understand your need for Him. You understand that your soul is without strength, is without power to perfect holiness, to perfect the very life that He loves, to perfect in you the image of His Son. And this brings about great contrition. Again, a divine work of the Spirit in your soul. When the heart is contrite, pride flees. There's no place for both. Holy, may we keep His name holy. When we look at the peoples of the earth and we look at the ways of man, who will keep His name holy if not His bride? I can remember when Bill Clinton, you know, got into the presidency and the church got so upset with him because he was just so human. It got to the point that they saw him as a monster of unrighteousness. As though somehow this unsaved man was supposed to walk righteousness. They didn't pray for him. They were so busy judging him, criticizing him. There was no time for prayer. But you see, the holy thing would have been not to judge, not to criticize, but to pray. And had we done that, he would be a different man today. Listen to me, please. This is holy. We judge our brother, we criticize our brother, we reform our brother in our heart of critical spirit that is unholy. But with love and faith and gentleness and goodness, we seek the good of the one who is not perfect through prayer that is holy. When we guard our tongue and we don't speak evil about our brother, that is holy. When we backbite and all the words that go with that word, and we do all that, that is unholy. When we love money, that is unholy. When we love His will, that is holy. When we love the material things of life, that is unholy. When we love His presence, that is holy. When we hold unforgiveness and bitterness and strife and anger and ill will in our hearts, that is unholy. When we hold love and forgiveness and gentleness and goodness even to our enemies, that is holy. When we are convicted of the unholy and we make excuses and justifications and seek to idealize it instead of changing, that is unholy. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, Lord, in me. I want this temple clean. I want it squeaky clean. I want it clean because it is filled with light. I want your temple to be clean and pure and holy. Therefore, when I say, hallowed be thy name, what I really mean is, make me holy so that I am a standard of holiness unto your name in the earth. How can we carry holiness when our hearts are filled with a mean-spirited character? Doubt and unbelief, stubbornness, rebellion. Any of it sound familiar? We all know someone like that, right? That is a temple that is impure, unholy. Hallowed be thy name. O church, yearn for the holiness of God. Yearn to be a temple filled with the beauty of holiness. Why do we think the Bible calls it beautiful? Because there is no beauty, not in all of creation, like the beauty of holiness. It is everything we want to be, everything we need to be, because it is what He is. How simple can you get if you belong to Him, really belong to Him? You want to be holy. Because that's what He is. Simple and beautiful, don't you think? Can you be holy and watch television? May I tell you the truth? No. No. If you want to be holy, why do you want to know what the world is doing anyway? Let alone passively enjoying. No!
You are called to be higher than that. To be more than that. You are called to come out of that which is unholy and live in that which is holy. You are called to come out of the life of the soul and into the life of the spirit. You are called to come out of the kingdom of the world and into the kingdom of God. You are called to walk in the power and the authority and the glory and the beauty of the living God. Why do you want to defile it with the world?
Your thoughts can go so low when the world is in charge of your mind. But your mind becomes a beautiful thing when God has rule. Your mind becomes a temple of light when God has rule. And you can believe the unbelievable. You can know the unknowable. You can experience that which cannot be experienced any other way except to be filled with the light. I live down here when you can live so high. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you got up away from a television and felt holy? Boy, that sitcom was so good. I laughed for a half an hour. But your holiness crumbled at the feet of it. If your soul is constantly being fed, how can your spirit hear the voice of the Lord? You were bought at a great price. You were bought not to live enslaved to the ways and the traditions and the things of the world. You were bought to be held on the precipice of glorious in the hands of the ever-living God. Oh, in His hand is a holy place, and there's no place for the world in it. Why does He call the church out of the world? Because it's not for you to live there anymore. He wants you to rule and reign with Him. He wants you to live in heavenly places. One pastor told me many years ago, he was a dear friend of mine, he said to me, "Nita, you spend so much time in prayer. You spend so much time in the heavenlies. You're no earthly good anymore." And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, "I don't know anyone who spent more time in prayer than Jesus. He lived there constantly. And never have I ever seen anyone more earthly good than Jesus." The church is in the condition it's in because her ministers do not have a prayer life. And they're no earthly good because they don't have a prayer life. You can't affect. Listen to me. You cannot affect the temporal world unless you live in the heavenlies in prayer. And the more time you spend up there, the more authority you're given, and the more understanding you're given, the more light you walk in, the greater the force that flows through you. All of the above needed to affect the temporal world.
we are in a time of great darkness. Darkness is getting greater. It is covering the earth. Heavy, thick darkness. If we could not change history 15 years ago with the prayer life we had then, why do we think we're going to be able to do anything great or grand today with the same kind of prayer life? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be unkind. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to help you understand. You've got to get your eyes off of the status quo Christianity, and you've got to get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, how he walked, how he thought, how he felt, what he did, what he didn't do. You've got to get your eyes on him, because Paul, in all of his wisdom, said, follow me only as I follow Christ. That was a commandment for the whole church forever. And how are you going to know if Paul is following Christ unless your eyes are set upon Christ? How will you know whether or not you're growing in the light if your eyes are not set upon the author? How will you know if you're changing the way you need to be changing? God wants the church to change at lightning speed these days. Now, I understand that light is slowing down a little bit, but that doesn't give the church permission to slow down. We've got to change faster than we've ever changed before. And we can't do it if we're looking at our charismatic, please, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not trying to invite you to be judgmental. That is not the purpose of what I'm trying to get out of my mouth. I'm trying to tell you that there is a need to go beyond the leadership of the present church and look at the head, Christ. Because the leaders, so many of them, have never developed a prayer life, have never developed the kind of life that they need to walk in what God is calling the church to. So if you measure your life by your leaders, even by me, if you measure your life by your leaders, you're going to fall short. You've got to measure your life by truth. You've got to measure your life by Christ. And you've got to keep remeasuring and remeasuring and remeasuring and remeasuring until you get closer and closer and closer to the one you're supposed to be following. It is an awesome invitation to come out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. It is a wonderful invitation. Because the transition of change from what was to where you're going is the most beautiful transition any human being can make, this side of heaven. Not only is it beautiful, but it prepares you for the days ahead to be used the way he wants to use you. Hallowed be his name through his church who seeks holiness. How do I make that enter into your heart? How do I paint the picture of the beauty of holiness that will make you want to put down everything that blinds you to that same holiness? The human heart is, what does the Bible say? It's what? Desperately wicked.
And it lies to us all the time. And if it doesn't lie to us, we'll lie to it.
We will do anything not to change. But the Lord of glory has sent forth the sound of his trumpet. And he's calling to his church. He's calling most especially to his bride. Come out of the self-deceptions. Come out of the darkness of every kind. Come into the marvelous light and let me transform you. Let me transfigure you.
So I can use you. And so you can know me. I keep feeling, the Spirit of the Lord just keeps rolling over my heart. And the love for this truth is overwhelming. It feels explosive inside of me. I just want to scream it from the housetops.
Come out of the darkness, into the light. Come out of the world, into the glory. Come out of the ways of sin, into truth. Be transformed. Be ye transfigured. Be changed.
By the glory of his word. And the glory of prayer. Hallowed be your glorious name, Father. Oh boy. Touch God. Touch God and be changed. Touch God. Touch God. Come out of the world. Come out of the ways of the world. And touch God. I can't think of his name right now. But who is that artist that painted the picture? I mean, he's a famous guy. I know everyone else in the sanctuary knows who he is. Of the finger of the hand of man reaching out for the finger of God. What? Michelangelo. That is probably the most extraordinary picture anyone has ever made. But you know, in the church, we've got one hand reaching out for the Lord and the other hand reaching out for the world. As though we're supposed to be some kind of bridge. And that's not the call. The call is to let go of the weight and reach for the finger of God. If I could release in myself the life of God right now, I would do it right now. And it would be to the words, touch God. Touch God. Touch God. Touch God. I'm not talking about, oh, I love you, Lord. You are a wonderful God. You're so good to me. The kingdom of God is taken by the violent, and the violent take it by force. Violently touch God. Violently seek God. Violently pursue God. Violently, with a vehement passion. Take all of your passions from everything else to which they've been assigned. Pull them back. Refocus them. Increase the measure of the passion with which you seek Him. 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 Seek God.
that you might know him more than you might know him, that you might become one with him. Seek the Holy One. Seek God's face with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Seek God. Take the walls out of your soul. Pull them down. Push through until you have touched the very heart of God.
Don't be the same tomorrow that you were yesterday. When you go into prayer, go in with one purpose. I will touch God. When you've come out of prayer, come out knowing I have touched God. But don't go into prayer expecting nothing. Don't go into the prayer closet with your little cup of tea or your cup of coffee and think I'm going to have a nice chat with God. Please quit praying like that. Go into prayer with a passion to touch God. Touch him with violence, the violence of faith, the violence of love, the violence of holy passion. Touch God. Touch him until he changes you. What an invitation. The most holy practice there is. And Jesus says to do it. Pray. And then, like a loving teacher, he tells us how to pray. Hallowed be thy name.
That means you can measure everything in the world. Everything. Everything. Think about it. Everything. Go get up in the morning, go out and do your day, and think about everything you've seen all day long. When you've accumulated all of your thoughts at the end of the day, I want to tell you that above everything you've seen, there is something so glorious, so righteous, so pure, so wonderful, so holy, and he is called God. He is above everything that you have seen all day long, everything you have put your eyes upon all day long. Nothing can touch his beauty, his glory, his splendor, his majesty, the grace that his presence gives to your soul. Nothing can touch it. Everything you've set your eyes upon all day long is meaningless in comparison to the one who holds your soul.
And who has called you to greatness. How can you go home? How can you go home to be with him without being great for him here? Ask yourself that question every day. And the only way you can ever be great for him is to be nothing, so that he can be everything. It's a call to come and die. Don't go home. Don't go to heaven without being all that he's created you to be. Don't do it. Live for him nobly. Be what he's asking you to be by dying so that he can do it through you. Hallowed be your name. If there was a church in New Orleans that really got a grip on living in the life It would not have to take a huge church. It could take a relatively small sector of the church here with the vision and the passion to live in the glory. And they could turn this city upside down for Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, I guess tonight's message is to make him hallowed among men. Hallow his name among men. Hallow his name among men. He's worthy, is he not?
Yes.
Isn't he worth giving your all to? Isn't he worth giving your all for? Isn't he worth giving your all to know? I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to carry your glory, Lord. I want to come to the secret place and know your glorious face. I want to live today. I want to live tomorrow to know the beauty of my King. I yearn to be transfigured, Lord, for your glory here on earth. If I die, it is gain. If I live, it is Christ. I give praise to the one who bought my soul to live for him. I cling to the cross. By this I die. I die to the world and it to me, through him who bore his cross. It is the power of life. It is the power of grace. It is the power of the knowledge of my God. I will cling to the cross. I hunger for the light. I thirst for his righteousness to fill my heart, that I might know him, that I might be made into his image in this life. Glory, glory, glory to my King. I will live, please stand. I will live, Kevin, please come help. I will live to the glory of my King. I will die worship him. Kiro lo shorien masoro drepe faselo yashero apate oro la shakomasian ayasaliato esasi.
I will die, Lord. I will die with you. I will die. I will die. I will die with you. I will die with you, Lord. I will die. I consign this flesh to the cross. I consign my soul to the cross. Lord, I will die with you that I may live in you. I want to be holy as you are holy. I want my heart to bear the etching of the cross. I want to be holy as you are holy. I will die with you, Lord, that I might live again.
Ido shokun sane. Ida talo echean. Ila shoya salo.
If you are willing to die, please don't come up if you don't mean it. No one's judging anybody. That's not what these meetings are about. These meetings are about walking to transformation. If you're willing to die, then come up. I want to lay hands on you. It's not going to be easy. The promise of the cross is the promise of an uncomfortable life. Are you sure? Are you sure? Happy days are over. But the days of glory are near at hand. Are you sure? You can still go down.